Would you turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 16? This is going to be our text for today, Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to ask you to stay really in that passage of Scripture because we'll continue to reference it as we walk through the lesson today. There's a subject that by and large is neglected in our pulpits today because it's not a sweet topic. It's not uplifting. It's not encouraging. So pastors don't like to speak on it. That is the subject of that literal place called hell. If I'm honest with you this morning, I too am guilty of shying away from this topic, of not reminding the family of God and warning the lost that those without Jesus Christ still go to that place called hell. So today, if you would have some grace and allow me to preach for a few moments on the horrors of hell. Before you get perturbed at me and say, Pastor, we've come to hear an uplifting message today. We've come to be encouraged. Why would you preach about such a drastic or strong topic? Well, can I say that although the subject of hell may be forgotten about in our pulpits today, that it hasn't been forgotten about by the sinner who ends up there. The same book that declares unto us the glories of heaven also gives us the admonitions and the warnings about hell. In fact, there's more in this book about hell than there is about heaven. But we enjoy talking about heaven, so it's talked about a lot, and we don't really enjoy talking about that place called hell, so we don't really want to think about it. So it's as though we kind of just, let's just put it out of our mind. Let's just not think about it. Let's not talk about it. We'll pretend that it doesn't really exist. But beloved, if we're going to believe in that place called heaven, where the saved go, then we must also believe in that place called hell, where the Bible says those without Jesus Christ go. We learn about both of them in this book. And by the way, this book is the only place that you can learn about what happens after life. There is no other place. Science doesn't know. There's people that have their ideas or theories, or there's people that have come up with some objective thought here or there. But the fact of the matter is there only one place to learn about what happens after death, and that is from Jesus Christ, from the Bible, from God, the one who created life. And he declares us to the glories of heaven, but he also gives us the horrors of hell. Would you follow along as we read our text for today, beginning Luke chapter 16 in verse number 19. We'll read down through verse number 31, where we read the story of this rich man. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosoms. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." We very clearly are given here the fact that he says, hey, what you have is you have Moses and the prophets. That's this. That's the Bible. That's what he's talking about. You have the Word of God. The rich man said, "Oh, but if somebody rose from the dead, then surely they would believe." And he says, "No. If they won't believe what I have written down, if they won't believe what the Creator of the universe said in this book, they're not going to believe even if somebody rose from the dead. They'll find some way to explain it away. They'll find some way to try and justify it. They'll find some way to explain it. They're not going to believe, but beloved, we have it written in the book." And I would encourage you today to listen with an open heart and a sound mind and let the words and the pages of Scripture come across and speak to you this morning about the realities of this place called hell. If you allow me to open with a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I understand the gravity of the subject which I attempt to preach on this morning. The reality of it is sobering. Lord, it's something that we don't like to think about or ponder. It brings to mind so many challenging thoughts. And Lord, on one hand, we're excited and thrilled that we don't have to go there, but we all know people that we love and care about that ended up there. And Lord, we're just torn between those emotions as we ponder and think about such a heavy topic. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us through the service this morning, that you'd be with each and every soul. May we rejoice in the fact that your Son came and provided a way so we could all avoid it. If there's one here this morning that has not confessed their faith and trust in you and they don't know that they've been forgiven of their sins and are on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray that they would avoid the horrors of hell by trusting you as their Lord and Savior today before it's eternally too late. Lord, would you just have your will in the way in the service today? In Jesus' name, amen. I have prepared for you a handout. I'm going to ask these men to give out right now. This is basically a list of the scriptures that I'm going to give today. I wanted you to have those scriptures in because I've got a lot of ground to cover. And I don't want to have to take time to turn to all of them, but I want you to see them. And so if you would take this, there's a spot for you to make some notes if you would like to. It's really just all the scriptures that I'm going to deal with outside of our text. So you can leave your Bible open to Luke chapter 16. We're going to reference and look at Luke chapter 16. And then we will deal with and talk about all these other scriptures that we have listed out for you here. These men are going to get that to you. You can have that to keep notes. And also, I wanted you to have the scripture right in front of you. I know sometimes when I get going, you guys are like, you know, you didn't give us time to get to that scripture. We didn't even have time to write it down and you were gone, let alone read it. And so I'm going to cover a lot of ground this morning. And this is such an important topic. I want you to have this in front of you. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. First of all, point number one, you might want to make at the beginning of that. I've got 3 points this morning dealing with this topic. First of all, I want you to realize that hell is an actual place. It is a literal place. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17, he says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." He describes there very clearly there's a literal place. Beloved, the rich man and Lazarus died. They both died. They both went to a literal place. We enjoy talking about where Lazarus went, pictured in this text by the bosom of Abraham, Abraham's bosom, that he went to heaven. He was enjoying the glories of heaven. But also, the rich man went to a place. The Bible says that he was buried and woke up or opened his eyes in hell. A moment after his death, he woke up in hell. Listen, I want to tell you this morning that it's not here on earth. There is a misconception. There is a philosophy that people say, oh, well, hell is right now. Living life is hell. This is all there is. I mean, this is so bad. This is so terrible. This is hell. One day we're going to die and it's good. Then hell will be passed. I want you to know that's false. That no matter how bad your life is today, it hasn't begun to touch the hem of the garment of how horrible the place, literal place of hell is. This rich man, I want you to note that his rich, his wealth, his status in life did not get him a place in heaven. And the poor man, it had nothing to do with their status in life. It had nothing to do with how they behaved in life. It had nothing to do with them being good or bad. What it had to do with was whether they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whether they believed on the shed blood of Jesus who died on a cross to save men from their sin. Beloved, the Bible critics, those that would like to deny the existence of the place called hell. And by the way, there's a whole lot of preachers that stand in pulpits today, and they're on YouTube, and they're on television, and they're on other Christian networks today that deny the existence of hell. I don't know how you can be a preacher and stand up and say, listen, without fail, there's a heaven. You better believe it. You can be saved and know you're going there. Well, the same book that teaches about heaven teaches about hell. And if you're going to preach one, you've got to preach the other. You've got to warn people, tell them about this place. Those that would deny the existence of it say, oh, this is just a parable. This is just a story, a simile. It's just telling us some things that you can learn. If you look at it, you can apply it this way or that way. I want you to know that that's not true. This is not a parable. There's several reasons that we know that this is not a parable. First of all, all of the other parables that are in the Word of God, the parables, none of them give any names of individuals. It's not talking about a literal person. In this story, we don't have the rich man's name, we have his description, but it's giving us Lazarus' name. We have a definitive person that God is describing, saying, here is what happened to them. Secondly, if you know the definition of a parable, a definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is not an earthly story. This is a story about a man who went to hell and describing and explaining what he experienced as he went there. There's not an earthly story with a heavenly mirroring. A parable is a similitude that allows us to take something that we know about, that we understand, like talking about the sower and the seed. And we understand planting seed and how it grows and it multiplies. And that's an earthly story that we can make sense of. And we can say, oh, I understand that. Now we understand what that means with regards to the Word of God, as it's pictured as the seed and it falls on different soils and so on. And so this does not give us any more insight because it's literally talking about a literal place. I want you to know that Christ believed in hell. If you have a red letter edition Bible, tell me whose words did we just read? Jesus' words. There are those today that like to say, listen, if it ain't in red, I don't believe it. Well, that's not very smart either, because the same person that said all the stuff in red said all the rest of it. It all came from God. OK, it all came from God. It's just those are the words of Christ while he was here on earth. But here's the thing, in this topic that people don't like to talk about, that we like to avoid, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the one that taught on hell. Right. It's from him. You look through all the pages of Scripture and you'll find that all of the lessons, just about without fail, come from Christ himself. Right. He did not have other people pin the truths with regards to hell. By and large, it is Christ that dealt with this topic, maybe because of the gravity of it, maybe because of the seriousness of it. Christ said, I'm going to be the one to warn and to tell people about this. And beloved, if what Christ said about hell is not completely reliable, then let's just close up shop and go home. I mean, because if what Christ said about hell is not literal, if it's not true, if it's not actual, then nothing else he said is true. You see, we don't get the pleasure of picking and choosing what we like out of the Word of God. We don't get to just decide, well, oh, I really appreciate this that Jesus said, but I think that's not right. No, it's all Jesus. And if we're going to acknowledge him as God and understand that he is the creator of the universe and he is the one who sent his son to die, Jesus died for you and I. If we're going to believe some things, we've got to believe it all. Christ said in Matthew 10:28, he said, and fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Right. But I'm saying over and over again, you see, Jesus taught more while he was here on earth. He just taught more on the topic or the subject of hell than he did on the subject of heaven. And if we're going to follow the example of Jesus Christ, our churches should be dealing with hell a whole lot more.
Right.
And if I'm real honest with you, I'm going to tell you I failed you as a pastor. Because I have not dealt with this subject as I should. I feel the uncomfortableness in here. I feel that. We've got a lot of guests here that are like, man, this guy is crazy. Can I ask you, is it the Word of God? Are we looking at the Word of God here? We're looking at the words of Jesus Christ. We have got to believe it. Jesus taught more on hell than he did on heaven. The word hell is used 54 times in the Word of God. Its definition, its description and explanation of the place called hell is found in 139 passages of Scripture. Like the one we just read this morning. Boy, the comics like to joke about it. People like to laugh about it. Bumper stickers like to mock it. I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker. Went to hell, came back, it was full. Any of you ever seen that bumper sticker? A few of you. Am I showing my age or what? I don't know. I mean, come on. There's people in here been around longer than me. I've seen that bumper sticker. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. You see, the Bible describes that place as a place that is enlarged. It's not ever going to reach the place where somebody can go and say, oh, there's no room, it's full, I'm not, there's no room for me, I'm leaving. They can joke about it, but it's not going to happen. Not only does Christ believe in hell, but angels, the devil's angels, they believe in hell. Look at your handout there in Matthew 8:29. He says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? These demons. They said, what do we have to do with thee, thou Son of God? He says, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They were acknowledging the fact that they understood there was going to come a day when they, with the devil and all of his angels, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to spend an eternity in that place. That is what hell was created for, the devil and his angels. And the angels knew it. They said, hey, have you come here to torment us before the time? We thought we had free reign right now. We thought we had ability to run and do what we want to do. What do we have to do with you, Jesus? They believed it. They understood the time was coming. Not only, beloved, is hell an actual place, but I want you to understand this morning that hell is an awful place. Hell is an awful place. In verse number 28 in our text, the rich man, thinking back, remembers and he calls for him. He says, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto, what's the next four words? This place of torment. Beloved, it is a place of torment. As much as heaven is a place of joy, as much as heaven is a place of excitement, and we look forward to going there, and we think about that heaven, oh boy, no more pain, no more suffering, all the joy and all the sadness, no more tears, boy, isn't heaven awesome? Just as much as heaven is a place of glorious truths regarding the no more pain or suffering, heaven or hell is a place of horror. He says he's tormented. Tormented. We see in verse number 3 that he is tormented. 23, he's tormented in flames. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Look at verse number 24. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see, People joke about the hellfire and brimstone preachers of old bygone days that preached on the subject of hell and tried to warn people about the fact that people without Jesus Christ go there, and they say, oh, you're trying to scare them into heaven. Is there something wrong with that? Is there something wrong with warning people about the impending doom, about what's going to happen if they go down that road? If there was a bridge out and you were driving down that road 55 miles an hour, wouldn't you want somebody standing at the front going, wait, stop, wait, don't go that way. Oh, come on, no, but wait, the bridge is out. You wouldn't say, oh, he is a fanatic, he's a nut. Boy, he's just trying to scare everybody. Why would he do that? No, you would thank him because he saved you from driving off that cliff. Well, that's the job of the preacher, the pastor, to stand up and he says, hey, there's a literal place called hell. It's a horrible place that burns with fire and brimstone. And those that die without Jesus Christ are going there. Hey, don't go. That's what the man of God is crying out to you this morning. The pages of Scripture are, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, please don't go. It's a place of torment, tormented in very real pain by real fire. It's not just a simile. It's not just a parable. It tells us exactly what hell is like in Matthew 13:42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:41, he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Beloved, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what hell really is for. But those that die without Jesus Christ end up there. Revelation 20, verse number 15, he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. One of the reasons that we know the story in Luke 16 is not a parable is because it also lines up with the rest of Scripture that describes that awful place called hell. It's not like that's the only story we have or the only picture we have of hell. Over and over and over again, Jesus talks about it and he tells us it is a lake of fire. I know, beloved, that you... I mean, have you ever burned yourself? Even just on an iron? On a pan? I've burned myself many times in small ways, just... You learn that the way to check if a pan is hot is not with your fingers. But that's not how you know, is that hot? Oh, yeah, it's hot. Okay. That's not the way to check. You burn yourself in just a small little thing and, oh, it hurts. And it hurts for a long time. And it's just the tiniest little bit of flame. I know that each of you can remember in vivid pictures in your mind the horrific scene 23 years ago on 9/11, when the plane struck the World Trade Center and there were people, over 200 people, jumping out of the top of that building from almost 1,000 feet high. They jumped to their death. Why? Because the flames inside that building were reaching temperatures of excess of 2,000 degrees and they had the choice to either stay here and burn or jump to their death. And over 200 people, as we watch live on television, there's people one after another coming down the side of that building to escape those flames. But can I tell you that in hell there is no escape? It is a place of torment. Jesus mentioned it 6 times in Mark 9:43-48. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee enter into life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell in the fire that shall not be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee enter halt into life than to have 2 feet and be cast into hell unto the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Beloved, there is no question that Jesus Christ believed in the literal place hell called hell, and that it was a place of torment, a place where men sit and exist in an everlasting torment of flame. He says, man, if your arm is keeping you from accepting Jesus, cut it off. What is it that's keeping you from coming to Christ and accepting His free gift of salvation? Whatever it is, get rid of it. If it's your feet, if it's your eye, because better would it be to enter into the kingdom of heaven without an arm than to enter into hellfire. It's a place of torment without rest. As much as heaven, beloved, is a picture of that place of rest. Aren't you looking forward to it? Boy, when my battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We look forward to with anticipation the day that this struggle is done, that the battle is over. No more aches and pains, no more hurting back, no more getting out of bed with injuries. Amen. You get up and you're ready to go. We have just that day we look forward to. Why? Because heaven is a picture of a place of rest. But in hell, there is no rest. In Revelation 14:11, he says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. No rest. Boy, foolish people, I've heard them. They talk about how they're going to go to hell and party with all their friends. That's where all my friends are. That's where I want to go. I want to go be with all my buddies. No, you don't. You can laugh and joke about it, but the reality of it hasn't hit home in your heart. The fact of the matter is there is no party over there. There is no rest there. Can you imagine not being able to get relief from any pain? The other night, I was up at the hospital, and I saw little Alyssa right before her surgery. And she was in a lot of pain. They have her appendix removed. But I know that the morphine was doing its job. And although she was still feeling some things, that she had a tremendous amount of relief because of that morphine. I'm thankful today for something as simple as Tylenol. That when I have a headache and it's more than I can bear, I can just go take some Tylenol or some Advil or something like that and get rest from the pain. But you see, hell is a place where you'll never get rest. You'll never have relief. It's a place, the Bible says, of total darkness. Jude chapter 1 and verse number 13 says, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever. In Matthew 25:30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The fact of the matter is we are meant to be in the light. From the youngest child in here to the oldest adult, there is something apprehensive about darkness. Now, when there's a bunch of us guys walking down the street in Baltimore, day or night, it's okay. We've got all our buddies with us. But if you're by yourself down on the street in Baltimore, it's the middle of the day, it's okay. But you know, it gets dark and you really shouldn't be down there. There's some streets I've been on that I didn't stop at the red lights. At night, like that, I ain't stopping. The police can chase me out of here. That's fine, because out of here is where I want to be. Downtown Philly. Got lost, end up in some streets, some places. I'm like, I don't know this neighborhood, and I do not want to be here. And you make it after dark, and it's even worse. There's some apprehension about darkness. Darkness, beloved, is hard to endure. Just look at the places on earth that experience months without the sun. Months where the sun doesn't shine, and they're not in complete darkness. They have electricity, they have lights, they have ways that they can get into a lighted area. But even without the sun shining, the alcoholism is rampant. Suicide is among the highest in the world. Why? Because we're just not built to be in darkness. And here we see hell as a place of complete and utter darkness. Maybe, beloved, because there is no presence of God there. We know that God is light. I am the light of the world. He is light, and in hell there is no presence of light. It's also a place of thought. You see, in hell we won't be mindlessly existing without any realization of what's happening. We're going to be very aware. We see that in our story here. In verse number 25. But Abraham said, what's the next two words? Son, remember. If you see it, say amen. Four or five of you. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Boy, he was living it up while he was here on earth. He said, remember how good you thought you had it. Remember how plenteous things were, how your wealth you thought got you everything. Oh, and Lazarus, his evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beloved, the Bible's very clear here that those that are in hell are going to remember every opportunity that they had to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every time a preacher came and presented the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that all they had to do is accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and they could go to heaven. I'm sure that there was days that Lazarus stood outside the house waiting for some crumbs and the rich man would come by and Lazarus would say, oh, will you trust Jesus today? Hey, I appreciate the bread from your table. You're such a nice guy. But listen, I want you to go to heaven. Will you please trust Jesus before it's too late? And the rich man thought, oh, who is this poor man? He doesn't have anything. He doesn't know anything. He can't tell me anything. And so he wouldn't believe the pleading of Lazarus. But now Lazarus is comforted and he is tormented. You see what I'm saying? It was present in his mind. He remembered those days. In verse number 27, he said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send who? Send Lazarus. For I have five brethren that may testify unto them. You see, beloved, how did he know to call for Lazarus? How did he know that Lazarus knew the truth and could tell him why? Because he had heard it. And in his mind's eye, he could remember every time he heard the truth, but he decided to deny it. He decided to reject it. He remembered when he was in hell. Beloved, they that are in hell, remember them. They remember their family. They remember their friends. They remember those that are still here on earth. My question for you this morning is, do you remember them? Do you remember those that have yet to receive Christ? Do you think about those that have yet to acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Because right now, their eternity, their destiny is a place called hell. According to the Word of God, not according to Pastor Caleb, but that what the Bible says. But here the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, and he said, send somebody to my brothers. I don't want my brothers to go here. I don't want my friends to end up here. Would somebody please go tell them? And God said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. They have the message that I have sent unto them. Would you believe it today? If you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know without Jesus, your eternal destiny is a place called hell. But with Him, it's a place called heaven. Not only do we see that it's a place of torment, a place of total darkness, a place of thought where we remember everything that we did here on life that sent us to that place, but it's also a timeless place. In Matthew 25:41, he says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into, what's the next word? Everlasting. Everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. In Matthew 25:46, he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. It's forever and ever. In Revelation 14:11, he says, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever." It's something that's going to continue. It's an everlasting punishment, just as heaven is a everlasting reward, a place of great blessing. We talk about going to heaven and being there for all eternity. But those that don't go to heaven go to a place called hell, and they too are there for all eternity. In verse number 26 in our text, he said, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." I'll tell you what, everybody in hell would pass. They would gladly do it at that point. They would gladly say, "Oh, I'll accept you." But you see, it's too late. The opportunity that we have to trust Christ is before death. Right now. Right now, before it's too late. Because you don't know the day or the hour. He says those that are, there's a great gulf. There's no way for those that are there to pass to here. And there's no way for those that are here to pass to there. There is a great gulf fixed between us. When it's done, it's done. There is no going back. Can you consider the torment of hell? You know, beloved, we can endure anything for a day. We could endure anything for 2 days or 3 days. I mean, if we talked about it or thought about the fact that, well, let's say punishment in hell was just as long as you lived days on earth. You say, well, I died at 79, or I died at 84 and 101. Or you'd say, you know what, so I only have 100 years. And your first day you got done, you'd say, okay, I've got 999 years and 900. I got 99 years, 364 more days. And you'd say, oh, now next day I got 363 more days. 300. You would look towards that day when you could get out. I mean, the end. You'd say, boy, just 100 years and I'm done and it's over and finally I'll be out of this pain. But beloved, it's everlasting. It's everlasting. There is no relief. There is no getting out. There is no changing it. I remember back in October when I fell from the roof and broke my back and went to the hospital and I was in excruciating pain. In my mind, all I could think about is this too will pass. In my mind, I thought, I know I'm in pain and it's unbearable. I mean, it hurts so bad right now, but I know that they're going to do what they got to do. They're going to give me some pain medicine. They're going to do surgery. They're going to treat me somehow, that in 24 hours, I'm going to be in a lot better shape. I can endure this for a little bit. Why? Because I knew in a day or two that it was going to pass. It was going to be done. But I can't imagine the hopelessness of being in a place where you know there is no relief, not today, not tomorrow, not 900 years from now, or 9,000 years from now. There is no end. Because it is eternity. It's a timeless place. Not only, beloved, is hell an actual place and is hell an awful place, but I want you to know that hell is an avoidable place. Amen. Hell is an avoidable place, beloved. Nobody has to go there. Oh, this is so terrible. This is talking or discussing this place that is so wretched. I mean, how in the world? But it's an avoidable place. The rich man didn't have to go there. The reason we sing songs like there's still good news is because the good news is you don't have to go there. The reason that we sing songs like "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus" is because those that will turn their eyes to Jesus don't have to go there. All he had to do was believe on the name of the Son of God. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, beloved, those that believe not have already made a choice. They've made the choice. They stand in condemnation. That is their destiny. That's where they're headed. But those that believe, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth." We just got to believe. That's all he had to do. See, See, beloved, God didn't create hell for man, his crowning achievement. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But the sad reality is man that dies without Christ end up there. You see, when man sinned, he separated himself from God. And God can't allow sin into heaven, the place of perfection. God loved us so much, he sent his Son to die for you and I. You see, God is not some mean, judgmental, vicious God up in heaven with a club waiting just to beat you down or to cast you off into hell. No, beloved, God went to an exorbitant amount of effort at great cost to himself to provide a way that you could avoid the place called hell. He provided his own Son as a perfect sacrifice to pay for your sin. His Son took your sin on himself so that you could take his Son's righteousness on you, so that you could be allowed to go to heaven and I could be allowed to go to heaven because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Second Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Can I tell you that God wants all to come to repentance? God doesn't want anybody to go to that terrible place called hell. He wants each and every single man, woman, boy, and girl ever born on earth to go to the place called heaven. But the sad reality is, just like this rich man who had an opportunity, but he denied it and walked away from it, didn't believe it, ended up there. Those that die, having rejected Jesus Christ, end up in hell. If anybody ends up there, it's because they have chosen to go instead of chosen to avoid it. Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That's not Pastor Caleb's words. That's what God said. But you don't have to go there. You can avoid it by putting your faith and trust in Christ, who died and gave himself for you.